This afternoon, I'd like to ask you to join with me as I read from the 119th Psalm, and I'm going to read specifically verses 9 through 16. Psalm number 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I think that most of us who are here, especially this afternoon, would have to agree that the key to victory in the spiritual battles that we are fighting each day of our lives is found in keeping our heart right before God. And this is not an easy task, and we all have to admit that, because we understand that our heart is Satan's target. He is constantly trying to compromise our moral character and cause us to call in question the very things that we believe and that we practice religiously. Satan, of course, has many weapons in his arsenal: the television, popular music, the internet, sexually explicit and violent games, the educational realm, your friends, the people you work with, and even in the church, there are found false teachers. But we need to remember that you are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. Did you get that one? Okay, let's read it. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, okay? For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. We are not what we think we are, but what we think we are. The way we think, the things we think about, the things we contemplate are the things that are manifest in the life that we live. The man of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 23. Yeah, 4 and 23. Says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. What is this idea then of keeping your heart right? What is this all about? Well, it involves a lot of things, and we're going to talk about those together in the time we have allotted, beginning with the principle here of purification. Notice in our text, Psalm 119 and verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Notice the cleansing involved here. Purification. We read about this, by the way, in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, he says to him to flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We understand then the necessity, because of the fact that these things of life spring from within the man, that we have an important, it's important for us to be sure that our heart is clean. Now, by the way, cleaning or cleansing by its very nature implies what? Pollution. There's pollution there that needs to be cleaned out. So we, of course, understand that there are many sins that are peculiar to youth. That doesn't mean that older people don't do them. It's just that it more commonly is found amongst young people who lack experience and who lack the understanding that they need to avoid such things. But the next principle here in keeping your heart in our text is that of determined effort. Look with me, if you will, here at verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. With my whole heart, I have sought you. The cleansing of the heart is not something that just happens, is it? It doesn't just happen. It takes dedication and it takes determination. The psalmist prayed here for total commitment to obedience. Notice, let me not wander from your commandments. Total commitment, total dedication. We understand then that he is emphasizing wholeheartedness that implies determined effort. And by the way, if you look back up at Psalm 119 here, before we get past this one, and look at verse 2. Psalm 119 and verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. This is the same as verse 10, only turned around. It was something very important to the psalmist to emphasize these points. And we, of course, understand that not wandering from his commandments means continued unfailing obedience. This is how we keep our heart right before God. But the next principle we find here is the principle of fortification. Look at verse 11 with me, if you will. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. What's he implying here? Well, he says, I built a fortress, and I built it out of these portions of God's word that I have placed in my mind. And these are the things that condemn uncleanness of every kind. They teach me purity. They teach me chastity. They teach me holiness of life. If God's word is only in his Bible and not also in the heart, you may soon be easily attacked by Satan, because you don't have any fortification. You know, it's one thing to carry a Bible around with you. It's another thing to live by it. You need to think about that. But in keeping our hearts before God and keeping them right, we also understand from this context in verse 12 that there must be appreciation. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. In verses 17 through 24, incidentally, which follow here, David says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live, and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see. There's our song. Wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. That's a good elaboration on this thought here, isn't it? That's a good elaboration on that. Appreciation for what God provides for us. But another thing we notice here in the principles set forth on keeping one's heart in Psalm 119 is that of verbalization. Verbalization. In verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Those whose hearts are being fed with the bread of life should with their lips feed many others. Ponder that for a moment. If you are being fed with the bread of life, what should you do? You should share it with others who are in need of it. I think that's a really good thought. The sentiment well expresses the need for verbalization of the treasures that God has placed within his word. Now, part of the law that David lived under that was expressed right here in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 teaches this very thing. And I'm sure many of you, when you hear this, you'll remember having read this many times. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Verbalization. You don't just carry that Bible around with you. You talk about it. You talk about the things that God has revealed in His Word. For those who want to keep their hearts right before God today, this is a necessity, not a suggestion. We understand the reason for that being, as Jesus pointed out in Matthew 12 and verse 34, that for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you think about, what you fill your heart with, is what will come out of your mouth. And what should it be if your heart is pure? But the next principle we want to talk about in this list is in verse 14, the principle of evaluation. Evaluation. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. You see what he's comparing this to? Delighting in the Word of God and having the proper effect upon your heart will result in the cleansing of your life. And he compares this to what? To great wealth. And how a person might well enjoy it. But notice that in this, the psalmist says he rejoiced in the way. I rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. That could be easily overlooked there, couldn't it? The way of God's testimony. Way, of the word way, is one of the manners in which reference is made to the law of Moses specifically that he lived under. Man's ways are what? Inferior in every respect. Man's ways lead to what? Disaster. David's joy was not in mere speculation or human rhetoric. Not in any sense of the word. But in obedience and practice of God's way. I guess we could say it's God's way or no way. That's the way it's got to be. It's got to be that way. I think that's very important when we place the right value on God's way. The seventh principle we want to notice here of keeping your heart right in Psalm 119 is the principle of meditation. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. No spiritual exercise is more profitable for the soul than devout meditation. Now, why is it, do you suppose, that seeing how valuable that this is, that so many are lax in this regard? Think about this. How often in the course, let's say a week, do you meditate on God's Word? Now, I don't mean give it a passing glance or notice that your Bible's over there on the coffee table gathering dust. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about opening up God's Word, reading it, and sitting there and meditating on what He says. Maybe even digging a little deeper, looking at other scriptures on that subject so you can understand it more fully. How often in the course of a week do you do that? Is it some day other than Sunday? Or some day other than maybe Wednesday? Think about that. We want to keep our heart right before God. But how badly do we want to do that? Seriously, how badly? Now, I want you to think, after we've said all of this, about this question. What motivated David to meditate on God's precepts? What motivated him to meditate on God's precepts? Well, why go outside of Psalm 119? We don't have to. Go down to verse 97. And here's the answer to that question. 119 and verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. That was his motivation, wasn't it? Absolutely. Now, if the motivation for meditation on God's precepts or on his law is love, what will we do if we truly love God's law? Meditate on it a little bit on Sunday, and then maybe out a little bit on Wednesday, or maybe one other day. We might make a hurried look over our material for class so we don't look like a total idiot when we get there. Seriously now, this is serious business. You want to keep your heart right? What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Show that you love God's law by meditating on it night and day. There should not a day go by that you don't meditate on it. Maybe different parts of it or different aspects of it or applications of it, but not a day goes by. I don't know why it is that so many people seem to have it in their mind that meditating on God's law and His Word is something that's assigned to preachers to do. The rest of us are busy. We've got a life, you know. We got jobs. And so the preacher meditates for us. No, it can't be done that way, folks. The elders can't meditate for us either. Each one of us has a responsibility to keep your heart right. Each one of us. We bear that responsibility equally. Me too. Me too. But our eighth and final principle in this context of keeping your heart right is the principle of application. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. Now this connects quite well with verse 8, as I put up here on the chart for you, if you can see that, okay? Verse 8 of this same context, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly, David wrote. Now, think about this. If we love God's law, if we take delight in God's law, what will we do? We'll keep it. We'll keep it. We'll do what he says. Those who keep their heart right will find that the more good they do in service to God, the more they desire and delight and resolve to do. It's kind of contagious. It's kind of contagious. You know, we read about true religion, which is our pure religion, which is undefiled before God the Father, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27. But let me suggest for your consideration in this light here, that true religion is known by hungering and thirsting after righteousness. It is known by perseverance in well-doing. That's how it's known. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Paul said in Romans 2, beginning of verse 6, that God will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. In Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, Paul tells Timothy over here that we are looking for the blessed hope and a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Now here it is. And purify. That's the important thing about our heart. You be purified. For himself, his own special people, what? Zealous of good works. That's right. They don't have to be begged. They don't have to be prodded. They don't have to be challenged. Because they're zealous of good works. They're always on the lookout for being able to do something for someone else. It is so, so refreshing to work with brethren who are just exactly the way the Scriptures say they should be. Let me tell you that. Who are always concerned about each other and what they can do to help each other and even helping brethren elsewhere sometimes. Zealous of good works. They don't have to be begged. They don't have to be prodded. They don't have to be challenged. You get it? They're zealous of good works. And this is a very important part of the things that we're talking about with regard to keeping our heart right before God. Now, let me suggest to your for your consideration in light of all of this that you can be guaranteed, that if you do these things, you will succeed. Guaranteed. Why? Because this foolproof plan came from above and not from below. This came down from the mouth of God. And it is foolproof in every regard. I want you to go with me. We started out with this verse and I want to go back to it and talk about it just a few more minutes before I leave the lesson with you this afternoon. By the way, I'm going to let you out early. I know, that's unusual. I'm really trying. I'm trying to keep it down. Don't want to bore you to death. But listen to this. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, this is kind of where we started from with this thing, isn't it? With all diligence here indicates the need for all, and this is from the definition, for all possible care. It means that this is a duty that cannot be taken lightly. It is important. You say, well, what is this issues of life here? Out of it spring the issues of life. Well, in looking at how this is rendered in different texts and so forth, the literal of this is the going out of lives. But in this setting, it is not an allusion to the function of our physical bodies, but rather to our spiritual lives before God. That's what that's talking about. As a man's heart is, so will his life be. We've seen that principle clearly, have we not? Clearly. If his heart is kept clear and pure, his life cannot be wicked and vicious. If his heart is wicked and vicious, his life cannot be kept pure and clean from sin. There's just no way. In the Gospel according to Matthew, and I can't remember if I put this on here for you or not. I guess I didn't. I got carried away when I was writing this last part of this lesson and forgot to put that on the chart. But that's okay. You can write it down. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 16, listen to what the Lord said. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Now, what is this saying? You can tell the condition of a man's heart by watching the way he acts, listening to the things he says. You can tell. And if the things he says and the things he does don't indicate purity, do not indicate that he was one who meditates night and day on God's word, then that means there's something wrong with his heart. By their fruit you shall know. Now, the Lord didn't have this impediment that we have. Did you know that? We have a bit of an impediment. We cannot look into the hearts of men and know what's in their heart. And Jesus understood that, and that's why he put this in here. That's why he taught this right here. You can't know what's in the heart of a man. So how can you tell? By their fruits. Can people be sly and deceptive? Yes, they can. But let me tell you something. Sooner or later, they'll out themselves. Sooner or later. And then you will say, ah, there's the fruit, and it's not good. What can we do about this? How can we help this person to cleanse their heart and purify their heart? And to keep their heart right before God. But that's what we're here for. Is to help each other. Any indication whatsoever that we have a problem with purity of heart, we can help each other. We can pray for each other. We can encourage each other and admonish each other. That's what we're here for. So that we can keep our hearts right before God. Now, question for all of us. Are you keeping your heart right? Are you keeping your heart right? In view of all of these things that we've talked about this afternoon, are you doing those things? Well, if not, then it's time you get busy. It's time you get busy. Because if you don't, you are making an opportunity for Satan to get a hold of you. You're opening the door because you're not keeping your heart right. We don't want to take that chance. Satan is so aggressive and so successful at deceiving the hearts of men. We don't want that to happen to any one of us. And to anyone else as far as that goes. But especially not to one of us. I hope that you have been uplifted by this lesson. In looking through all of my old lessons and notes and things and trying to think of something that I haven't preached a sermon on before, that's hard to do after 30-some years. No, it's almost 40 years now. But anyway, isn't that terrible? 40 years of preaching. I didn't used to be that old. But anyhow, I've never really done a lesson exactly like this. Taking a text like Psalm 119 and just follow it right down and take the points right point by point. I like that. I enjoyed that. I hope you did too. I think there's a lot to it. And we could have developed it a lot further. But quite frankly, I was afraid if I developed it much further, we'd be here for another 30 minutes or so. And it turned out that I actually got through it pretty quick. Appreciate all of your careful attention, all the good encouragement you give me all the time. And I pray that each one of us will be uplifted and benefited by our studies together. And as always, before we dismiss an assembly, we always offer the invitation of heaven, knowing that God is always looking for those who are outside of Christ, those who are lost in sin, to come to Him. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if you're not a Christian, that means you. That means you. God wants you to come to repentance. So really, the only thing standing between you and salvation through the blood of Jesus is you. That's the only thing, is you. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is who He claimed to be, as we discussed in our blackboard lesson this morning that you didn't see, if you believe that with all of your heart, then why not take action accordingly? Confess your faith in Him from a penitent heart. That is a heart that's been changed by your belief in Him as the Christ, the Son of God. Be buried with Him in baptism, receiving the remission of sins that He promised us, and rising up to live in that newness of life, which includes keeping your heart right. Now, if you started that road, but you haven't been keeping your heart right, you know as well as I do that you can change. You can come back. God will forgive you if you'll repent and ask for His forgiveness. He will forgive you. And you can begin again to get your heart pure in His sight, to keep your heart right before Him. And as I said before, your brothers and sisters in Christ right here are here to help you do it. That's what we're here for. We'll pray with you, we'll pray for you, and we'll do everything in our power to help you. If in any way you stand responsible to Heaven's invitation this afternoon, we want to extend that invitation to you and invite you to come while we stand and while we sing together.